Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we're lucky to bring you guys a great guest. You know, I talk about being able to buy real estate deals or get into real estate without using your own money. And in my book, The Real Estate Investing Diet, I give you guys a bunch of examples on how to do that. But like today, we have a person who's been doing it for over 30 years. He's raised over $1 billion to be able to do this. So I'm happy to bring you guys Dr. Gower. If you can, Dr. Gower, please give us a little bit of background about you and what made you get into syndicating deals.
Andre, thanks so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I appreciate being on the podcast. Right. So you want to know how I got into syndication? That is a long story. So I'll give you the very, very short summary of what it is.
All right.
I actually started pulling wires for an electrician in Southern California a very, very long time ago.
Okay.
And very shortly after that, I was invited by a sponsor, Ground Up Multifamily sponsor, to assist them in raising equity capital from investors for their Ground Up deals. So it was very different then. So this was in the 1980s. Oh my goodness. It's a very long time ago. And in those days, the only way to find investors was to network in person. So you would call your lawyer or financial advisor or accountant or whoever it was. You'd ask them for introductions, and then you would follow up with a phone call, and then you would meet them in person. Mm-hmm. And much of the, in fact, all of the capital that I raised in those days was from Japanese investors. Mm. There was a lot of interest in US real estate investing from Japan at that time. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got into it. I learned how to read a pro forma, how to build a pro forma. I was lucky enough to be involved in every aspect of the development process in those days. And my job was to present investment opportunities in person. That's the kind of the key difference.
That's the key because, you know, times are different now, right?
Very different. Now you don't need to do it in person. In those days, you had to because the laws required that you had a pre-existing relationship. So we had to establish a relationship. And then we presented in person. And then we followed up by email and phone and letters and FedEx in those days to get information to them. But that's how I started.
So then when you first started, because you're in commercial right now, but when you first started, were you syndicating deals in single family or you went straight to commercial?
It was all multi for ground up multifamily, ground up apartment deals. Yeah.
So then I do a lot of syndicating, like we talked about earlier. I do a lot of syndicating with it when it comes to traditional, like single family flips and things like that. Do you think the method, because a lot of the listeners are probably going to start in the single family, right? And I see your face. A lot of people say it's better to start in commercial. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think people should try to syndicate because the process is the same? So do you think they should start with single family or just jump to commercial?
Look, it doesn't really matter. From a syndication perspective, what you're doing is identifying an investment opportunity, real estate investment opportunity, and putting together a business plan, right? Mm-hmm. For how you plan to buy, upgrade, and then sell the assets. So basically, you've got a business plan. Right. And then you're selling that business plan to investors to invite them to participate with you. It doesn't, the process isn't any different if you go after, if you're doing fix and flips, or if you're doing commercial real estate. The process for finding investors and soliciting investments from them is the exact same.
Yep, I agree with that 100%.
But, you know, the best, but your question was slightly different. Your question was, what's better, go for commercial or go for single family? Correct. It really depends on where you want to start. I mean, the most important thing is to avoid mistakes. Mm-hmm. And the best way to avoid mistakes, unfortunately, is to make them. Exactly. How are you going to make mistakes? You learn from experience.
Exactly.
So probably the best thing is to establish yourself with small, manageable projects that you can really cut your teeth on, understand what the processes are. It's not easy doing real estate. It just isn't, you know, doing value add real estate, any sort. Right. It's not easy. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So the best bet is to start with something modest that you can handle. Learn what possible mistakes there are. And like I said, the only way you're going to do that is by going through the process. And then you start to grow from there.
So what do you think would be the hardest part, or what's the main piece of being able to syndicate a deal, whether it be a small property or a commercial property? So obviously it's the real estate deal, but what makes the syndication process easier? Is it because the deal is a good deal, or like, how does that go?
Okay, I see. So, you know, there are some foundational components that you've got to deal with first. And that means you've got to have the right offering documents. You need to hire a securities attorney. You've got to put together your paperwork, form your companies properly, et cetera, et cetera. But all that is kind of administrative, right? You've got to get that done. Once you've got that in place, the most important thing is gaining visibility. Right. You've got to have visibility. And the way that you get visibility these days is by having a website. You want to have a good website that provides a lot of educational content, not AI generated educational content. That won't get you anywhere. Yeah. You've got to be talking about your investment thesis, your investment strategy, talk about your track record, your background. You could even talk, we have clients that, and by the way, we do this for our clients. We build these systems. Okay. They're called the investor acquisition system. We build investor acquisition systems for clients. I was going to say, so some of our clients actually include their mistakes. We have one client, if you sign up on his website to learn more, the first email you get from him, automated email you get, is, here's why you shouldn't invest with us. It's what he writes. And he has an article and a video on his website that says, here are all the mistakes I've made. Now, what's clever about that is that, number one, it's the least likely response you're going to get from somebody, right? If you say, yeah, I'm interested. If they say, okay, good, I'm glad you're interested. Here's why you should go away, right? And not look anymore at me. So that's intriguing. Mm-hmm. But secondly, when you talk about your mistakes and maybe the losses that you've incurred, and by the way, this is not absolute, this is one client out of many who does it this way, but it's a really good tactic. You can also demonstrate that you have learned. You have learned from your mistakes. So for example, this particular client has super low or no debt. Mm-hmm. And he does that because the mistakes that he made in the past was taking on too much debt and losing a property back to the bank. So he's never wanted to do that again. And that reassures investors that he has learned from his mistakes and is a conservative player. And in today's market, Andre, the most important thing, and we know this from having done investor sentiment surveys, also from all the Facebook ads that we run for clients, investors, passive investors are most concerned about protecting their investment. They don't want to lose money. So you need to be able to show, particularly in this market, as we're going into a lot of distress and a lot of turmoil in the market, got to be able to talk about, because that's the one thing that is going to dominate any prospect's mind.
Right.
When you're talking to them, either in person or via your website or via webinars or videos or whatever you put out there, promotional materials, the one thing that is going to be in their mind is, how is this guy going to protect my investment? So if you don't talk about that up front immediately, It's all they're going to think about. The whole way through anything else you say, you're going to lose them. So start with the hardest topics first, address those, get them out of the way, and then move on to whatever other narrative you have to try and raise money.
So to piggyback off what you just said, there's two questions that I have. So we all know what's going on in a real estate market. I talk about distressed, you know, properties because that's what I go after. So we know that there's a huge decline in the commercial real estate market right now. That's what you focus on. So I want you to answer, what are your thoughts on what's going on in the commercial real estate market right now? Is it a good time to invest? Which I think it is, because obviously the property you have is distressed. And then second, where do you find these investors in the beginning? Like, how do you find these investors? Before having a website, I'll talk a lot of times about going to real estate meetup groups, right? RIAs and things like that to find investors. So again, if you can answer those two questions, where to find the investors and what's your thoughts on the commercial real estate market right now?
Right. So let's start with the first question. What's going on in commercial real estate? Well, as you know, interest rates have gone up. And so the impact of that, very kind of very high level, as interest rates go up, prices come down, right? Yeah. The cost of debt goes up. So the cost of operating an asset goes up, cap rates go up, values come down. Yeah. And with the amount of commercial real estate loan maturities that are coming due over the next 6 to 18 months, it's hundreds of billions of dollars. It's inevitable that a lot of sponsors are going to run into trouble and they're going to need to come up with cash to either shore up their debt positions and reduce them so they can afford the new levels of debt service that they have, or they might lose the asset to the bank or have to sell earlier than they had planned in order to be able to pay off their debt and keep a little bit of profit, if they're lucky, on the side. So there's going to be a wave of foreclosures, a wave of distress in the commercial real estate markets over the next at least six to 18 months. By the end of 24, you're going to see a lot of activity, and you need to be active and ready for that when you start to see it, because it's going to come and it's going to go very quickly, and there's a lot of money chasing it. So the question, your next question, is how to find investors. Very good question. And your example was go to meetups. Well, my entire world at the moment is avoiding actual in-person meetups, but you don't need to. And it's highly beneficial that you do that. So the first thing that you need is you really have to have a solid lead generating educational website. Again, this is, we build these, I've written books about it, of what exactly you need to have on your website in order to be able to attract, nurture, and convert prospects into being investors, right? So that's your first number one priority, is to get a really good website in place. The second thing is then to start pushing your messaging out on social media, so, particularly LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, or whatever it's called these days. I don't know what it's called, X, whatever it's called. But you want to be pushing it out. These are the platforms, particularly LinkedIn is very good, and Twitter, for promoting your message to professional investors, to a sophisticated, accredited investor crowd. And what that will do is will elevate your visibility. It will position you as an authority in the industry, and it drives prospect traffic to your website. So if you've got a post on social media, your post should always have a call to action, a CTA that says to learn more or to gain access or whatever it is, to read more, click this link. And that link is always going to take them back to your prospects, back to your website, where you will then invite them. Whatever materials you're showing them on your website will then invite them to sign up for your newsletter or for your email list. And then you'll trigger some automated emails, right? So that's your primary goal, is to elevate your visibility on social media, direct people to your educational website, and then harvest names and email addresses. However, once you've done that, once you've got a solid foundation with your website, good social media presence, then you can start doing active marketing. There's all kinds of ways to do that. You can advertise on Facebook. You can go on podcasts. Yeah. You can do paid webinars. You can do email marketing. There's lots of ways you can do that. Or you can go to meetups. Mm-hmm. Now, the advantage of having, or to, you know, speak at conferences, the advantage of having a really good lead generating website is that if you, let's say you go to a conference and you talk in front of 100 people, they all get to know you, but how do you, how are you going to harvest all of those names and email addresses? Well, the best way to do that is to throw a slider with a QR code on it or a link to your website that says to learn more, click this link, go to this website, or just use the QR code, put your name and address in, or name and email address in, and I'll send you, you know, a free copy of my book, or I'll send you a white paper or a case study, et cetera. So if you have that infrastructure behind you in terms of a website that is a good lead generating website, what that does for you is it makes your time when you go out to meetups or to conferences significantly more productive, because now you're not relying on exchanging business cards and meeting everybody. You can transmit your information in front of them on a screen and invite them to sign up right then and there.
So then with a person who's just now getting started, because most people, a lot of people on the podcast or listening to the podcast are kind of new. So if someone's not starting out or that advanced and they don't have the capital to be able to create websites and things like that, what's the best thing for them to do for a newbie?
You've really got to have a website these days. I mean, it's just not expensive to do it. There are all kinds of platforms that you can set up. Even if it's a single page website that is harvesting names, that's all you need. You have to harvest names and email addresses. You can also ask them, are you accredited or non-accredited? So you need a landing page of some sort, some kind of lead magnet that you can send people to, so that you can get their email address and then start communicating with them. Look, if you go out there raising tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars and you don't have a website, your credibility is really low. Now you have to rely on your natural talent in person to talk to somebody. That has that meeting carries. It has to do all the heavy lifting. But if you have a website where your pitch is listed or your deal memo is listed or whatever you've got that somebody can access, they can then go out and research you independently. That's the thing. Investors don't want to be pitched. They want to be able to do research in their own time. Look, you've got a nice website. It's not that difficult to put them together. But really, it's a kind of a minimum standard these days, Andre, if you don't have a website.
What do you think, though, with a new person who doesn't have experience? Like, if they go create a website, they don't have the experience to put on there for someone. So obviously, you should put the deal, but the experience makes a big difference. But if someone's new, when I was beginning, I started in single family and I raised money, right? I got to $1 million net worth, not using my own money, but it was single family, which I think is easy, right? Present a single family home. Say there's $100,000 worth of equity in it. I need $15,000, right? If it's something that small, but when you're talking about what you're doing on a large scale, how can someone create a website with no experience?
All right, fine. So if you are starting from absolute scratch, this goes back to your first question. You want to be make sure that you can do it as easily as possible. So you're going to start typically with friends and family. They already know you. They already trust you. You have personal relationship, even if you don't have the experience, and then you sell that to them individually and get one deal under your belt, work through it, make sure it's successful, and then put up a case study. Take a lot of pictures of the deal before and after, during. Right. Keep notes and put together a case study. You could write a single page. You could have on that. You could put together a PDF, a case study of my first deal. Now I'm doing another deal.
That's what I'm trying to pull out of you. That part. So I told you on the earlier that we have an InvestFAR.com, right? InvestFAR is a mobile app, and we're putting a tool in there that's called a portfolio. So people will be able to build their portfolio, kind of like what you're saying. So you can put before and after photos in there, your capital that you're trying to raise, your bio and all that stuff, and you can send that out. So there's not really a lot of platforms that allow a person to be able to build a portfolio, right? You have to do it on your own, or you can use Instagram, but that's not professional. And like we mentioned before, to try to get funds from an institution, you have to have credibility. You have to have a portfolio that you can send them. You know what I mean?
Yes, right. And so that's, I guess that is another option that you brought up. You could certainly list your project on a site like yours, if that's what your site allows for, and put all the information there and then direct traffic to that location, right? To that page. And direct traffic meaning when you put a post up on social media, for example, you would say to learn more, click this link, and then it takes them there. But you do need to have an online presence of some sort, whether you build it yourself or whether you put it up on the InvestFAR website. Either way, you need a presence online. And here's why, because investors want to do research on you. Right. Anonymously, they don't want to be pitched. They want to be able to do research online with using, you know, I'm going to wave my phone in front of you, using their phone or using their computer. They want to be able to do it anonymously before they make a decision.
And like to piggyback off that, I have this podcast and I have the mobile app and I have a bunch of different things that I do, books. And some of the people that work with me, like you said, they'll come to me 7 months later and be like, oh, by the way, I heard your podcast. And I'm like, how do you even know I had a podcast? Right? They look into the person that they're doing business with. So they don't even tell you. You just look up and they bring something to your attention that you didn't know. So it's like you said, it's good to have that kind of information out there, because everyone I know, if they're going to do business with you, they're going to Google you. They're going to go to your LinkedIn. They want to find something, especially in this day of the internet, right? When you can find almost anything on anybody.
Yeah, look, I mean, the other thing, I suppose, if you really wanted to do it super budget, LinkedIn is free.
Yep.
It's the most powerful search, one of the most powerful search. And if you run anybody's name in Google, the first thing that's going to show up is probably their LinkedIn profile. Yep. So you could build your whole story. In fact, you should have your whole story on LinkedIn anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's easy enough, you know, to put together. You put your story together, you put a email me if you want to get a copy of the case study, et cetera, build it all on LinkedIn and then send people initially to your LinkedIn profile. You could certainly do that. It's not optimal. And just to be clear, our clients, just so you know where I'm coming from, Andre, our clients handle over $35 billion of AUM assets under management and have raised probably in excess of $1 billion using our system. So we are used to working with seasoned, long-term, large-scale sponsors. So I don't often think about, you know, kind of the startup world, but I do think, you know, sites like yours are a good idea, or LinkedIn profile. You need that anyway. Got to have a good LinkedIn profile.
You
got to
have it. You need it anyway.
It's free. You can put whatever you want on it. You can create a PDF. You can put a link to the PDF on LinkedIn. There's all kinds of ways that you can use that as a kind of short-term solution to get your name out.
To piggyback off what he's saying, you need to make this as easy as possible. You have to, because investors, especially people that have a lot of money or accredited investors, they don't want to spend 35 or 40 minutes. They want to be able to look at it within a minute and get, you know, 5 minutes max, 10 minutes, all the information that you need to make a decision, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, if you're asking people to invest with you, the first thing that they're going to do is to look you up online.
Correct.
They're going to look you up. And if you've got no presence online, maybe they'll still take your call. Mm-hmm. But now that call has to, like I said, do all the heavy lifting.
Correct.
You got to sell them on that call instead of providing them with good background, good information beforehand, so that they come into the call predisposed to investing with you before you ever even talk to them.
Ever wished you had the opportunity to buy a stock like Facebook, Amazon, or Netflix before it went public, or was able to get shares in companies like VC firms and angel investors? Well, here's your chance. Go to investfar.com/invest and reserve a position. For the next 1 to 3 months, InvestFAR is allowed a limited number of low-cost shares be available for friends, family, and its community per SEC regulations before it goes public. Imagine being able to 1,000x or 10,000x your investment, like the top 5%. With exclusive opportunities such as this, positions are limited and the window of time is short. Don't miss your chance. That's INV, as in Victor, ESTFAR.com/invest.
And for anybody who has a business or work in tech, like for me, since I have a tech company, it's called a pitch deck. When you get a pitch deck, it should be like 12 or 13 pages. The investor looks at it and he can tell you everything, or he can find out everything he needs to know about your company. And then he'll have a 5-minute conversation with you, because he's just trying to get more information from what he's seeing he's interested in, right? So you don't need to have something that's, you know, even a business plan. When you go to get funding from a bank, they want to see a business plan. This website or this LinkedIn is basically your business plan to an investor to try to get money for syndication.
Well, that's right. And even a bank, a loan office is going to do research on you online as well.
Exactly.
If there's nothing there, first of all, it throws up red flags if they can't find anything meaningful about you online. Mm-hmm. And secondly, even if your prospects, bankers, loan officers, investors, whoever it is, get over that hurdle that there's nothing online, it just makes it that much harder for you raise capital, because now you've got to do it all in phone calls. It just makes it harder for you, and it makes it harder for them as well. Doesn't mean it's not possible, but it just makes it harder for everybody.
And anybody, this is called the due diligence process. That's all it is. Like, you go through due diligence, whether it be trying to get funding for your company, whether it be a real estate deal, it doesn't matter. It's the process that you have to go through to use someone else's money at the end of the day.
Well, that's right. Investors and loan officers are going to, you're going to do due diligence on the deals that you buy, and they're going to research you. I suppose you could call that due diligence, but that's exactly right. They're going to research you. They want to know that you are trustworthy, a steward of their capital.
So let's dive into your website. I looked at your website. It's an amazing website, guys. If you don't know tell them the name of your website and all the information that he has on it. You should take a look at it, but go ahead.
All right, thanks. So the website is my name, GowerCrowd.com, G-O-W-E-R, crowd.com, GowerCrowd.com. Andre, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but there's over 1 million words of content on that website.
It's a lot of massive. Content, like a lot.
It is an incredible resource for anybody who wants to raise capital or who wants to invest in real estate of any sort. And it also has, on the homepage, it also has links to three of my books. I've written seven, but to three of the books. And one of them is called Syndicate. And Syndicate, it's only a $7 book. And if you don't like it, just let me know. I'll give you $7 back. But it really outlines everything that you do need in a website. It's easy to read. It's like an hour long, but it is the nuts and bolts of what we know works for raising capital online for real estate.
So what do you think about these crowdfunding companies that are out, right? I know it emerged over the past, I think, 10 years or so, where people can go and fundraise or crowdfund, you know, all these different websites. What do you think about these different businesses for people to get into crowdfunding?
So the crowdfunding websites are basically marketplaces. So if you know what the MLS is, the multiple listing service. So the multiple listing service, a seller will list an entire property, right? Here's buy this house. And then a buyer comes along, buys that house. The crowdfunding websites are basically the same. They're just marketplaces, except they're not selling. Sellers don't list projects or homes or buildings for sale. They list investment opportunities. Right. So you can invest a relatively small amount in a commercial real estate deal, but they are marketplaces. That's basically what they are. They're places where investors and sponsors, capital raisers, can meet, learn about each other, and transact, basically. So that's what their marketplaces. Technically, they're securities marketplaces because sponsors are selling securities, not real estate.
So if you were someone listening to this podcast, would you tell someone to do their own crowdfunding or go to one of those platforms to put their money in and just get like a, you know, 10% or, you know, return or something like that? What would your advice be for someone?
Well, you know, it's a good question. So it really depends on what you want out of life and how you want to run your life. Real estate, active hands-on real estate investing is extremely difficult. There are no quick fixes, right? You're going to take on debt. You're going to use a lot of money. You're up against macroeconomic factors, local economic factors, legislation, regulations, construction risk, market risk. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into it to be successful. You really have to be knowledgeable. You've got to have, to be really successful, you've got to have experience and knowledge about what you're doing. If that's what you want to get into as a full-time career, then you start small. But it will consume a lot of your time. You cannot imagine for a second that it's going to be easy. It is a job, J-O-B. And you've got to raise money. You've got to go to banks. There's a lot you've got to deal with legal restrictions and regulations. There's just a lot you've got to take care of. It's a job. But if that's what you want to do, go for it. Start small and build yourself up, or get a job at a really good shop, gain some experience there, and then go out on your own. If you don't want to do that, if you've got a real job, right? If you've got like a day job, then the option to invest with sponsors, with somebody else who does do it full time, is something that's very new, as you pointed out. It was only legalized basically in 2012 with the Jobs Act. So, and the laws weren't promulgated for another 2 years. So it's less than 10 years old, this industry. But you can invest with sponsors, with people that have experience, who do this all the time, who have teams themselves, who can demonstrate their track record, and who you can build a relationship with online. And it just makes it easier. You don't have the same hands-on responsibilities or control, but you can invest in order to benefit from real estate as an asset class, as a diversification option for your portfolio. You certainly wouldn't want to put everything in real estate.
One thing I want to say, though, and there's a ton of platforms that are coming out, right? These fractional investing companies in real estate, right? So with InvestFAR, I tell people this, you can either have a part of it or you can have all of it, right? So I think that's what you're trying to determine. Do you want to get in? Obviously, the more work you put in, the bigger your return. But if you want to just throw $10,000 at something on a crowdfunding platform and get 10% interest, that's fine. Or do you want to make $35,000 or $40,000 doing the entire deal yourself? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's a trade-off, Andre. Correct. It's a trade-off between how much time do you want to spend doing it, right? If you want to spend all your time actively hands-on investing in real estate and doing the work yourself, that's fine. There's plenty of people do it. It's very rewarding. It's very entrepreneurial, right? Yeah. So you can't not show up for work. Yeah. You've got to be there, but it takes a lot of time and commitment. If you want to be passive and you want to earn your money some other way, and a lot of people make tremendous wealth by having a primary career that is unrelated to real estate, but they invest in real estate as part of their overall investment portfolio, right? The only people I know who are almost 100% invested in real estate are real estate professionals.
Correct.
People who, that's all they do day in, day out. That's their job. They run companies. They work for professional companies. They have a lot of their net worth, the vast majority of their net worth in real estate. But that's because they have control over it. They know what they're doing. They're investing their own money. They have control over the process. They have the responsibility of success, not just to themselves, but also to their investors. Yep. And so they're much more heavily invested in real estate than a passive investor who is going to allocate a relatively small proportion of their net worth to real estate, passively investing as a limited partner with professional sponsors.
I think people look at Flip and Flop and these, reality TV shows and think that's what it's like, which they don't go into detail on those shows about what it's really like to be a real estate investor. You know what I mean? Especially when you get into a property, when you get into something and you're trying to add value, you get into it and you find out the whole entire electricity needs to be redone, or the foundation is bad and you don't really know these things. And so I think there's this narrative that goes around that glorifies real estate investing, but that doesn't tell the entire story on how hard it is and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got to be careful. There's a lot of hype in the market. There's been a lot of hype over the last few years. Real estate is high risk, requires a lot of experience, and is very time consuming to do properly and successfully. Yeah.
So then my other question is, for someone who doesn't have a team of people, are they remote or are they local, or how does your portfolio work?
Okay. So we represent sponsors who are raising money for their portfolios.
Got it.
And typically, well, it really depends, actually. Typically, you want to be local. You want to get there. You want to be able to reach it. You want to be seeing your assets. You want to be managing them carefully.
Correct.
We have one of our clients was told us about a deal he saw in Texas. So this was a $20 million multifamily deal that had been bought by a sponsor 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. The bank wanted to get rid of this sponsor, basically wanted to sell a note on the deal. And when our client went to visit the property and met the property manager said, yes, ownership hasn't been here for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the property was a disaster. It had a lot of deferred maintenance. There were vacancies. There were all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. So especially when you're getting started, you want to be able to reach your properties quickly and easily yourself. So you want to put them within, I don't know, 30-minute drive time, depends where you live, an hour drive time. You want to be able to get to them. You want to take responsibility for making sure everything is going exactly according to plan personally. If you start to hire people remotely, you're adding a completely different level of risk because now not only do you have the risk of the investment, but you also have the risk of the party that you are delegating to do the work. Yep. And you don't know how they're going to do that work. And if you're not there, you cannot see it personally, cannot manage it properly. So if you're getting started, you want to make sure that you are doing, you are investing locally, something that you can manage personally on a day-to-day basis. And then as you grow, our clients typically, if they move into new markets and into new cities around or states around the country, they will, once they've established a beachhead, they will set up an office there, or they will have at least one person who is an employee whose job it is to manage that asset and to look for more assets so they can build a critical mass in order to be able to set up an individual office there. But you do want to have people you who are directly responsible to you, that you are paying directly on your payroll, who are actively managing the property no matter where it is.
And so, guys, if you, you know, most people follow me, they know I have InvestFAR. InvestFAR is a remote investing platform. So we offer all these services. So like he said in the beginning, I did almost all my deals remote, right? And I ran into problems in the beginning because I had, you know, contractors, they end up bailing. So you end up giving $10,000 to this contractor. The next one comes. So I kept running into all these problems trying to invest remotely until I figured it out. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I created the InvestFAR platform. So now people can invest remotely without having any problems, because you have all the tools and resources to be able to do that, from the due diligence to send someone out to get pictures, to have a contractor that you can pay for them to send invoices through the app. So what he's saying is correct. But if there's a tool out there that now can try to help mitigate some of those risks, so I challenge you guys to go look at that. But what he's saying, if you don't want to use a tool like that, you should get a property that's within a 30 to 45 minutes or an hour distance to be able to get there. Because these contractors, you show up and they're saying they're working, and you get there and they're not there, right? If you surprise visits, I did a couple surprise visits because I had a property in Vegas and I got there and it was Modelo cans everywhere. The contractor wasn't there and I'm on the phone and the guy didn't know I was there. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, yeah, I'm in the house. We're doing this. I'm sitting in the house and this guy's telling me that he's in the house. And I'm like, I'm right here. So you got to be on the lookout for things like that. So that's why I think the InvestFAR platform is a good platform for that. But what he's saying is be able to get to a property within 45 minutes if you want to be hands-on in the beginning.
Exactly. That's right.
My other question would be, for I know people are like, what about the risk? What about contracts and things like that with syndication? So what do you think about that part?
So so when you do a syndication, you are actually not selling real estate. Mm-hmm. You are selling securities. These are, you're selling stocks in a company, because typically when you do a deal, you're going to set up an SPV, a special purpose vehicle, or SPE, right? A company. You're going to set up a company that will have an operating agreement with you and will have an agreement with the investors as well. So what you're selling is shares in that company. Those are securities. So you have to have a securities attorney, really. You got to have a securities attorney who can put the proper documents together for you so that they are compliant with all legal regulations and also that protect you and your investors should anything go wrong. Like I said, that's foundational. You've got to have that. Otherwise, you can really run into, you can run into some major problems if you are not doing it properly. The nice thing is that you only really need to do it once you go through the process, you understand the process. And you can adapt and repeat as you go forward. But you do have to have the proper legal documentation. And the only person who can really do that for you is going to be a good securities attorney who will protect your interest primarily.
Correct. On a single family side, something that I do because it's not as intricate as a commercial unit, I'll do a joint venture agreement with the person. Because normally it's like one or two people that are coming in on a deal. You can do a joint venture agreement with something like that so you don't have to add them to your LLC on a single family home. So you don't have to go to the point of what he's saying unless you're doing commercial. But on a single family side, just do a JV agreement and then have your title company put that person on title if they're requesting that, which they can do that. You just have that conversation with a title company. So then do you get a management fee, right? I know with syndicating deals, sometimes some people get a 3% or 4% management fee. That's kind of one thing that I want to talk about too.
Okay, so fees are one of the most important things, both for the sponsor, but also for your investors. So the key thing is to have an alignment of interest. If you want to raise capital from individual investors, high net worth accredited investors, you have to demonstrate what's called an alignment of interest. And an alignment of interest is where you make money when they make money and you lose money if they lose money, right? Yeah. So that you are aligned. If your fees, and you can ask for whatever fees you want at the end of the day, investors will make their own decision. You want to be upfront in what those fees are. Make sure that your investors know how you're making money from day one.
Right.
And make that very, very clear. But a sophisticated investor is going to look at it. They're going to say, well, hang on a minute. Look at all these fees. You make money, even if I lose money. So I'm going to invest with you. You've got a 2% acquisition fee. You've got a 4% management fee. You've got this fee. You've got that fee. You've got all these fees coming out of the project and you're using my money to do it. Why should I invest? What happens if the deal goes south? You're still making these fees and I lost my money. So you have to have a balance between what you're charging the project in terms of fees and what is reasonable from an investor perspective. You don't want to be putting too much fees in there. Otherwise, investors are just going to look at you and think there's no alignment here. This guy's going to make money whether I win or lose.
Correct.
So they're not going to move forward. So you want to be sure that you've got an alignment of interest, that you lose money if your investors lose money and that you make money only after they have made money, ideally.
That's good. I like it. So guys, you know, these are some of the tips that I've used on a single family side, but he's telling you how to do it on a commercial side. And eventually, anyone that's in single family, they always want to get to commercial. You know what I mean? Because that's where the money is. And that's where I think the less headache is because you have more doors. And most of the time when people do commercial, they do 5, 10 year leases, right? So then you're locked in with this person for a substantial amount of time. Is that correct?
Well, you know, commercial also covers residential, not
True.
Single
Correct.
Family, but anything True. Above 4 units is also considered
commercial.
Commercial. So multifamily apartments are also commercial. And that's typically the direction that most single family fix and flippers will go into. They'll go into commercial, multifamily into apartments. Yeah.
You get more doors that way, right? Instead of having one door, if that person leaves, now you're carrying that mortgage. But if you have 6 or 8, or 15 doors, 70% occupancy can still cover the mortgage on a property.
Exactly.
Like that.
That's right.
So then my last question for you is, obviously you have 7 books, but what are some, you know, let's say 4 tips that you can give to people that are trying to do what you're doing? Give me 2 books that you recommend outside of your 7 that you think will, you know, get people started.
Oh, gosh. So I think the most important thing is to go into investing. If you're going to do it professionally, if you're going to make a living out of it, start two options. Start small, use your own money. I know you like to use other people's money, but use your own money because then you're really hyper focused on making sure you don't lose it.
Correct.
And then you can start to raise money from other people.
Correct.
That's part of the alignment of interest. Or get a job at a big shop where you can learn from people that have experience.
That's what
right. That's
about.
Also beneficial. As far as books, it's hard to say. I mean, for somebody who's starting out, I know you said not my books, but I really do recommend those. Yeah. I hate to do it, but...
No, for sure. No, I was saying your books too.
They're very inexpensive and, you know, satisfaction guarantee kind of thing. They're at garrettcrowd.com. Syndicate is a good one because it's going to show you what you need to have on your website. Then Reality, actually, my latest book, Reality of Distressed Real Estate. That's also a good option because that's going to show you exactly how deals can fail in detail. It's very detailed, and it shows you how to get hold of distressed real estate as well. So those two books at garrettcrowe.com, those are good options. From a marketing perspective, so I'm a marketer. I work digital marketing. We help people raise capital online. The one book that I do like to recommend, it's kind of wacky. It's actually, I'm looking at it on my shelf. It's called the Robert Collier Letter Book. It was written, I think, in 1920.
Okay.
And the reason that that's fascinating is because the tactics and techniques that were used to sell 100 years ago have not changed at all.
At all.
They're exactly the same. The only difference is instead of sending out direct mail letters, now we send out emails or we post on social media. But the psychology of investors and buyers has not changed and probably won't. Human psychology doesn't change. It's just the way that you tap into that that has changed in the digital world. So that would be a book that I would recommend, the Robert Collier Letter Book. It's a good book. Oh, and there's another one, actually, I recommend, Ogilvy on Advertising.
Okay.
That's a really good book as well. It's really easy to read, and it's just packed with good ideas.
Guys, you got to take note. He gave you guys some good books. And again, you know what I mean? On the residential side, kind of what I do, you guys know I'm going to mention a real estate investing guide because that's for people that are trying to do this on a small scale so that you can get to where he is, because there's steps to this, right? Don't just go out there and try to hit a home run, right? That doesn't happen like that. You don't go and your first time playing football, get a touchdown on this 80-yard run, right? It doesn't happen like that. So guys, do what he's saying. And on the crowdfunding side, go look at his website. He has a ton of information. I mean, when I looked at it, it was videos, blog articles. It's insane. So I think you guys should go. If you can, one more time, give them the name of your website.
Thanks so much, Andre. It's gowercrowd.com, G-O-W-E-R. Crowd, gowercrowd.com.
Thank you for coming on the show. And I hope that everybody gets value by what you're saying. And again, me doing this for however many years, I also worked at a commercial real estate bank before I started doing my own thing. And everything he's saying is true. And again, I appreciate you for coming on. And again, guys, go to his website.
Andre, it's a real pleasure. It's really a delight. And I wish you the very best of luck with your site as well. Good luck to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.